Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another hour or so, the way our show's been going lately, of Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I'm so happy to be spending another Wednesday with you. I'm very excited. And I want to say a happy Wedding Wednesday, as always. Happy Wedding Wednesday to all my Twitter and Facebook friends. I am so very encouraged by your responses to the show and to everything that we're doing. So I definitely want to say happy Wedding Wednesday. And I want to say thank you to you guys. You have been truly awesome. We have had over 3,000 listeners to the show. And I guess we are talking about something that people do want to hear and speak about. And actually, on that note, I do want to say that if there is a topic that you would like for us to cover when it comes to love and marriage and family, please contact me, send me an email, cynthia@bridaltribe.com. Let me know what it is, and let's see if we can put that together for you. I also want to make a couple of announcements. We are launching, many people don't know what Bridal Tribe is about, and we are a company that is about love, beauty, marriage, weddings, and fun. And we are launching our premier magazine at the end of this month. And we're so excited about that, and we wanted to be sure and tell you about that so that you could definitely look us up and subscribe. I will be posting links about it on Twitter and on Facebook, and you can find a link to it on our website, bridaltribe.com. Now, that's the first announcement. The second one is, since it also happens to be my birthday week, I am giving away two issues of the premier issue of Bridal Tribe magazine to at least two of the callers tonight. So if you would like to be able to win that, call in with a comment or question to our couple who will be speaking tonight. And the call-in number is 347-996-3160. And if you want to have a chance to win a copy of the magazine, just press the number 1 so that you would be able to speak to our couple or to make a comment or if you have a question. That number again is 347-996-3160. That's the other one. So the next thing is we have also started our love dedication segments. And what love dedication segment is really about is you basically call in to our number, you leave a message of either a thank you or encouragement, or if you just want to tell someone that you love them, you can call our other number at 914-709-5059 and leave a brief message, and we will be playing it on the show every Wednesday. We'll be playing a couple of messages on the show. Again, so if you just want to say thank you, you know, to your mom for being so very supportive, if you want to give a word of encouragement to a bride-to-be or to a new wife, or if you just want to tell someone that you love them and so that they will feel love, you can just call that number, leave a message, and we will play that for them on the show every Wednesday. And again, that number is 914-709-5059. I will be posting that information a little later on tonight. So, on to our show. Tonight we are talking about marriage and blended families. And we're going to be talking to an awesome couple, the Halls, Sam and Charlotte Hall, who have been married 1 year, and they have a blended family of 5 children. And I am sure, just like you, are wondering, how do people make that happen? And we're going to get a little bit of their history. We're going to get into a nice conversation with them, and they're actually already on the line waiting to speak to us. I'm going to bring them in right now, and here we go. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hi.
How are you?
You're good.
Doing good.
You got that sound in your voice. I'm a little scared. You already sound tired, so I don't know how to respond right now. I've already kind of briefed everyone and let them know that you are our guest tonight. So why don't you just go in and give us a little history about who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Charlotte and I, we met February 2007, February 14th, actually, 2007. We were working together. She had just started at, well, we worked at Whole Foods Market. She had just started there for about a couple of months. She was training in my department. And I heard her voice, and I was like, who is this over the loudspeaker? And I went up there, and I saw her. So I said, oh. I was immediately attracted to her. So initially, I just invited her out for a few drinks with me and some of the other people that worked on the staff, because we would go out every other weekend. Mm-hmm. She didn't make that, so I wound up picking her up. Actually, the following day, we went out on our own date. Mm-hmm. We went on another date. We went on another date, and 6 years later, here we are with our two kids that we came into the relationship with, plus three other children.
Woo! I'm tired already. I'm tired. Now, what's really cool about a part of the story that you did not tell is that you asked her out on Valentine's Day.
Yes, I did.
That is so cool. I think that's so cool. You just saw, she didn't come out with you guys over that weekend that you guys went out. So on Valentine's Day, you asked her if she had any plans, I think it was. How did it go? Don't leave it out. Tell
her. He approached and he asked me what I was going to do for Valentine's Day, if I had any plans. And I said, I don't have any plans. I'm going home to eat ice cream. I had nobody to spend Valentine's Day with, and I was, and that's actually why I was working, to get my mind off of it. Just, mm-hmm. And he approached me and asked me out.
Nice. Now, Sam, I think you said that you were actually married before.
Yes, I was married. Before I had met Charlotte, I was married for five years.
Mm-hmm.
Before I met her, I was single for about, I stayed by myself for about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that day, me and her consciously decided, you know, I'm going to start dating again. Let me see. Let me start looking for somebody. And then I had met her.
Now, I always find that encouraging, because I know so many people who, after any kind of relationship, long-term relationship, whether it be marriage or just dating, that, you know, once they break up or they're no longer together, you know, they're just like, no, I'm not going to do this again. I'm taking a year. I'm taking 2 years, whatever.
Right.
But you, I like that you were like, listen, I know that I would like to date. I know that I want to be in love. I don't know if you thought that you wanted to get married again. But
no, I did, actually. I mean, I don't have any ill feelings towards marriage. I mean, to me, it's not marriage that breaks up people. It's the individuals.
Mm.
You know, it's not the institution of marriage. Mm-hmm. People like to say, you know, I'm married to this person, and we fell apart. Marriage destroyed that relationship. No, when y'all got married, it just stayed boyfriend and girlfriend or fiancé. It's going to go downhill. Obviously, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm hearing that a lot on every single week. That's, you know, that's scary, but I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it flow. But go on. Tell us some more. So you met, you dated, and how long? Just go on.
We met, so that was February 14th. Within the next couple of weeks, we dated a couple of times, went out to movies, went out for, well, first she drank the coffee, I was just there.
We went out to dinner, ice cream.
And then at that time, she was living with an ex-boyfriend of hers. She was meant in the basement.
Yes.
But she had plans on moving out. And I actually voiced it to her, told her, you know, if you had stayed there, this wouldn't have worked anyway, because I would have my own feelings about this. That doesn't sound right. So luckily for me, she was intending on moving out, and actually she wanted to move in with me, but this was before we became intimate with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just so happened after we became intimate with each other, she moved right in, which was actually only
three or four months later.
Okay,
so
go on.
So after meeting on Valentine's Day, we moved in together 3 months later. And so she was there. So then that was in June. So then the following July, we had our first child.
Mm-hmm.
Of 2008.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And did you know, I mean, like, because to any other listener, this is happening really, really fast.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It did happen fast, but the situation I was in, it was better for me to, I was going to have to move anyway. And, you know, he needed a roommate, I needed a room. So it worked out in that way, but it definitely happened fast.
Right, but I mean, when I say it happened so fast, I know that all the particulars happened fast, but I'm talking about how you felt for one another, you know, how the relationship progressed. Did you know that you wanted to be together? I mean, you knew so well that you wanted to be together that you moved in together.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is right. This is what I'm trying to get you guys to talk to us about. Like, talk to us about what did you know, the conversations that you had, because Sam had a previous marriage and a child. You had a child. What conversation did you have to work this out?
One of the first conversations we had, actually, our first date, we went to the movies, and we had a conversation about marriage and children and whether we would want to get married again or, you know, well, whether he would want to get married again or would we want to have more children, because one of the first things he said to me was that he was married and it didn't work out. And, you know, he basically put it out there for me to make my own decision on whether I wanted to date him or not. So he was very honest from the start about, you know, his situation and where he was and what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't any, you know, playing games or messing around. It was just, you know, this is where I am in my life. This is what I want, you know, kind of take it or leave it.
Nice. Okay.
Now, for me, I knew very early as well because I knew the person, first of all, I was very attracted to her. Secondly, the things that she wanted in life, especially as far as relationships go and as far as the family life goes, was the same thing that I wanted. So I'm like thinking in my mind, this is somebody that I want to be with. You know, I don't hear it too often as somebody who is so family focused and is willing to stick it out through the rough times to develop a strong foundation for a family. So I knew immediately what I wanted. And luckily for me, she knew immediately what she wanted. And even to this day, we still talk about this and we still feel the same way. So I think that's a strong point for us that, you know, worked in our favor. Because we did move very fast. You know, if we sit back and think about it, I know that if I hear somebody talk about moving as fast as we did, I'll probably raise an eyebrow. But then I have to think about my own situation. Well, it worked for us, but what, you know, it will work for other people, even though it's kind of scary when people hear it. Like, you know, how do you know you want to be with somebody after 3 months?
Right. That is.
No, this is the first question that people ask.
Yeah.
Right. Well, again, like, I'm learning so much about the fact that every marriage is not as traditional as most people think that it is. You know, we all kind of grow up and hear the stories that you know, you go to school, you meet someone, you fall in love, or you date a little bit, you fall in love, they meet the parents. You know, it's like this whole fairy tale of the succession of how it's supposed to be. But a lot of people don't always hear about the other stories that it still worked out and there were other situations that were not so traditional.
Right.
So that is one of the things that is interesting about your story. So let's continue. You guys talked it over. You kind of opened the door for communication because one of the questions of how you are doing, you have 5 children. How are you working this out? And
communication.
Yes, talk to me. Please, talk to me.
It is one of the most important things that we have is very open communication. We talk about everything, whether it's to do with us, to do with the kids. Everything is discussed. Mm-hmm. And nothing is left to just, you know, you're assuming that, you know, something's going to be done and it's not getting done because it's going to be spoken on before anything happens. So communication is key.
And even if one of us do drop the ball, which happens as well, I mean, the other one, we just make sure, you know, just shut up and pick up the ball and keep on moving. No, no time. Of course, I make it angry at her. She make it angry at me. But we have to keep it going because we don't have the time to sit and stall because we have so much on the table. You know, the kids are 11, 9, 4, 2, and 6 months.
Father. you guys make me praying on this show. I'm telling you. That is a lot. 11. Say that again. 11.
9. 4, 2, and 6 months.
I'm sure everybody out there listening is going, wow. Wow. I mean, I think that what you guys are doing should be an Olympic sport, actually. Because you have to have a lot of stamina to keep up with all of these ages. That, you know, so I've said my piece about that part. Olympic sport, people, take a look at families. Olympic sport.
And I think it also works for us because we know that we're pushing ourselves, even though most parents already know this, but we know, especially in our situation, we're to the sideline. You know, if we're going to do something, we have to plan that months in advance, weeks in advance, and then that's it. You know, when I get off work, I have to go get the two little ones. She has the big one. She's going to get the baby. Then if there's a doctor's appointment, if there's some type of therapy, we're swapping. She's running this way, I'm running that way. Switch your metro card. You go this way, I go that way. So it's like she said, that open communication, because there's so much going on.
Yes, and if we don't talk about it, somebody's going to get left out. A child is going to be in school overnight. Something's going to happen where, you know.
Been in school overnight. Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, then we'll be getting the phone calls like, you know, no one came to get tonight. And I'm like, wait, I thought it was his turn to pick her up. So we have to communicate. To keep things flowing, it's just we have to speak on everything,
right,
and have everything clear and well planned out before we take a step out the door.
All right, so let's talk about the blending of your family, because I think that's kind of a portion of the meat of the conversation that we've talked about before. When it comes to how you guys come together, you know, what happened with the children when the children met, and since Sam said he's divorced, he was in a previous relationship, what kind of issues, if any, came up when it was about introducing your daughter's mother to your new wife and family?
Well, when the kids met, they immediately just clicked. They just got along from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't have any problems with them, you know, getting along, or, you know, there was no fighting between them. It was just like, you know, Sam's daughter would come over and they were just excited to be around each other, because both of them were, like, my son is my only child when I met Sam, and she was an only child. So them coming together was just like, okay, now I have a brother, now I have a sister, I have somebody that I can play with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that that's something that helped, is that they didn't have the constant companion prior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got along really well in the start.
Now, the main issue was probably some months after that was when Samaria, who was my oldest daughter, would come over and would start to give Charlotte attitude. You know, we would hear all these mixed signals. She would give her a bunch of attitude. Now, where's this attitude coming from? Because in the beginning, she was doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't find out it was a result of the mother at home, her mother talking to her, because now I'm guessing, I know now, she felt threatened by Charlotte. She felt someone was taking her place.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't have to listen to this woman. You don't have to let her do anything to your hair. You don't have to let her do A, B, and C, or what have you. I'm your mother, and that's all you need to worry about. And it made it even worse that Samaria called her mommy.
Yeah.
Because, man, why you call her mommy when I'm your mommy?
Oh, okay. That is a big thing to deal with. I'm sure that there are other parents out there who have experienced something very similar or the exact same thing, where they felt threatened by the new person in their ex's life.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did you go about handling this?
Well, you know, it's not something that she was told to do. She wasn't told to call me mommy. It's something that she felt that she wanted to do. So I didn't deter her from calling me mommy. But how do I say it?
Well, on our end, we didn't do anything. I mean, you know, I just felt, we felt that was something her mother had to deal with. You know, that's your own insecurity. No one told her to call her mommy. She just does it. And I did speak to her for a second. We haven't spoken. We wasn't speaking much during that time, but I did speak to her briefly about that. And she was involved with someone that said, oh, well, this guy, his name, well,
yeah,
she was involved
with him. Right, let's protect the innocent so we won't say his name.
She was involved with him, so she can call him stepdad. I said, well, technically she can. You know, I'm not threatened because I know my place in my daughter's life. If any other guy comes along, I'm hoping he's just an addition to build on the foundation that I've already started in a positive manner, so it doesn't bother me. So, I mean, once that was said, that was done with. I mean, once Samaria didn't stop saying it, so after a while she just left it alone.
Yeah.
And then that was the end of that. But I will say that the attitude stopped once she separated from her boyfriend at the time.
Once your ex separated from her boyfriend?
Yes, when she separated from him, that's when the attitude stopped.
I see. And then that made things go smoother again within your family unit with bringing everybody together.
Yes.
Okay. And how did you handle the communication with that? I mean, was there a conversation afterwards? Did you have a conversation with your daughter when the issue first arose?
Yeah, I mean, we've always had conversations with her throughout the whole thing. We had tons of conversations, but for me, I felt for her as a child, it was tough for her. Mm-hmm. She don't want to disappoint me. She don't want to disappoint her mother. She don't want to disappoint Charlotte, who she liked a lot. But of course, naturally, she's going to go more so with her mother. You know, when
right.
she comes over here, she's going to try and play both ends to the middle. And, you know, it's just a bad spot to have a child in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, she got past it, and now everything is just normal.
Yeah, you guys say everything's just always just normal, and I'm just like, I'm still in awe of the whole situation. Like, wow. You know, I need
if
like
she comes over, you wouldn't think that she's coming over just for the weekend because she just blends in so well with the other kids. She
right.
just... You know, she comes in and it's just like she's at home. We have, you know, she has her own space in the house so she doesn't feel like a visitor.
Right.
And I try to make it my business to not make her feel like she doesn't belong because she's just as much, you know, she's just like one of any of the other kids. I love her just like she's my own daughter. So, you know, I guess that helps.
Okay. Because
I'm not as apprehensive as I was when I was getting the attitude. So now it's just
everything's just kind of just going a lot smoother, and you handle
yeah.
your family like your family. If there's a conflict, you step in and discuss and have a conversation. So basically, everything is just as an average family is.
Yes.
All right. So. Talk to me about how you manage your time. How are you doing this? How is it that you guys are able to manage your family together?
Well, a typical day is my shift starts at 7:30. So I'm out this house by 6:30, take the youngest baby, the 6-month-old, to the babysitter, and then I'm off to work. Charlotte takes...
I take Sinai and Sammy. That's the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old. I take them to daycare.
Jalen catches the bus.
So all of us are leaving the house at the same time. He has to be at the bus stop at 7:45. So I drop him to the bus stop, and I get on the bus, and I take them to daycare to drop them off.
Okay.
Then?
Go on. Well, I just got word that someone is on hold waiting to ask you guys a question, so I might just put you on hold just for a second.
Okay.
Pin in that comment. And let's give our caller a chance to ask you a question. Hold on just one second. You are on the air with Tribal Wisdom. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Cynthia. This is Mrs. Jordan, one of your first guests. How are you?
I'm good, Mrs. Jordan. How are you, sis?
I am blessed and favored. I did have a question and a comment. I guess we have someone that's been married quick, just like me and Jamal was, huh?
Yes. By the way, to our callers who are listening, this is Hanif Jordan. She was one of the first guests on Tribal Wisdom, and she and her husband married 27 days after meeting each other. And I'm going to post that link tonight as well. 27 days. So
Actually, it was shorter than that. We counted. We was like, oh, my Lord, no wonder family was going crazy. But it was actually 10 days, 2 weeks. Imagine that.
Oh, you guys keep shocking me every week, but you have a question for the Halls. Go ahead.
I do. They made me tired. I thought I was doing something with the two babies that I had. I just want to know, how do you maintain? You know, my husband, he keeps whispering in my ear, he wants another kid. And I'm just like, by who is this imaginary woman he going to have his baby by? But anyway, I'm just saying. You guys made me sleepy. I said, wow, I feel like I shouldn't complain. Just with my two boys, you know. But I just want to know, how do you keep your balance? And how do you find time for each other?
Well, the time for each other, most of the time for us, comes late at night after the kids are asleep. The kids are normally asleep at the latest by 11. Most of the time they're asleep by 9:30, but we have the four-year-old who's walking around now like nothing's going on. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, we'll plan a date.
Yeah.
I agree. My husband and I, we have to, I don't know if I said this before on the other show, but we got in a habit to where we schedule something every week, and we're not allowed to break that. And meaning, we don't always have to go out. It could be a midnight brunch on our balcony, but to at least connect with each other, to continue to date each other and let each other know that we are important. I think that's why we last 12 years. But I just wanted to commend you guys. I'm happy to hear that someone else, you didn't get married as early as I did, but, you know, you guys is kind of quick, too. So I think unconventional. I think when a man knows, he knows.
Mm-hmm.
As we were talking about before, Cynthia, Jamal knew off the bat, and I thank God for that. But I wish you guys the best. I just, five kids, I said, wow. And I complain over my two and go on to soccer practice. I should not even complain.
All right. So I definitely want to hear more, Mrs. Jordan. Hanif, you are the first caller, so of course you have won the subscription to the magazine.
Hey.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to put you on hold, so don't hang up. I'm going to put you on hold because I definitely want to get back to the Halls and having them explain how they're managing their schedule and their time and what kind of support systems they have. When you guys do plan to spend any time together, is there like other family members, is something? How are you spending quality time together, and how are you managing your time? I know you just finished saying that you take the two to daycare. Go on. Pick up from there and let's go back into it.
Go ahead.
No, that was Charlotte. Yeah.
Yes. So she's taking the kids to daycare.
Oh, okay.
If she's not working, then she's at home doing some of the things that need to be done. Then I'll go pick them up when I get off work, mm-hmm. and then she'll be here when Jalen gets here, and then she'll go home and pick up the baby by 6. So, again, we'll meet back at the house around the same time. So then one is cooking dinner, one is doing the homework. Then by that time, the kids are being given their showers, baths, or what have you, and then they lay down to sleep. And then I just finished a semester of school, so I'm done with that for now.
All right.
She's reading the book while I'm reading the book. I got surprised that the other day I brought home two movies. She's looking at me like, who are those for? I never sit and watch movies. So.
Sam does not watch TV. We don't have cable.
Thank you.
We the only reason I have regular channels now is because my parents bought me a converter box for Christmas. I had no TV.
Mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
kids don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. We just read or, you know, listen to music. But he brought home two movies, and I'm like, what? Who was that for? It's while you're snoring.
They're snoring movies because clearly you guys have to be tired. You're going to pop them in and go to sleep.
That's usually what happens. You put on a movie, and if it's not holding my interest, I will fall asleep on the couch.
Wow.
So we're planning a trip at the moment right now. We're planning a couple of three or four days away.
Two or three days.
In the next month or two. So probably most of the time it's either her mother or my mother or even her father. And her sister. Other than that, it's just us.
Yeah. Sam's mother comes over, I want to say, every other weekend. But, sometimes she's not able to and it's a little bit longer than that. But for the most part, it's every other weekend. In tandem with his daughter, she'll come over and we do get a chance to step out for a minute if we want to. So
right.
We do get to like plan a little life. We're going to the movies or if we're just going to go hang out somewhere.
But I think it's also important that, we as individuals take time for ourselves too. I'll come in and tell her, try and push her without pushing her. Go for a ride. Do you want to go to Target somewhere? Do you want to go here? Go get this. We need this. Just to get out and get a breather. Because she'll be stubborn and sit there amongst all the busyness and get aggravated. Go for a ride. Take it easy. Go. That helps.
That support is, I was about to say, that support has to be very, very important. And comforting, too, because I guess sometimes when you're in the middle of chaos, you don't realize that you need to take a step away. And it's good to have somebody there to say, listen, you look like you're about to fall apart. Why don't you go ahead and get in the car, take a drive and get some air on your face. So I like that you're so supportive of Charlotte being able to take some moments for herself.
Yeah, I was against it in the beginning. When we first met, Sam was, just take his own sweet time getting home. And I'm like, what are you doing that you don't get home? Why are you taking so long? He's like, I just need time to myself. And initially I was offended. I'm like, what do you mean you need time to yourself? We just got together.
Right.
But now I realize that, you do need that time to, just take a breath and step away so you can just to be with yourself for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Kind of clear your head, get your thoughts in order for the next shift of the Olympic.
Yeah, and most times if I'm being stubborn to go, it's not that I don't want to go. It's that I'm too tired to want to peel myself up to go outside. I just want to just sit down and relax, and that's what stops me most times. But
there was this article, some of you are probably familiar with this article in Essence Magazine with Will and Jada. Mm-hmm. So he had asked her a question to the effect of, what's more important, me, yourself, or the children? And she was like, the children. He was like, who comes next? She was like, you. And she was like, then I'm on the bottom. She asked him the question. And he said, well, me first, because I have to take care of myself in order to be any good. I have to take care of myself in order to be any good for you, which will make us a strong couple, and then we can take care of the kids. So, but I guess in this society, women are just raised that way, too. Not raised, it's the image, not the image that's given there. Women are just taught to care about others more so than themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is why I feel that she had a hard time initially taking time off of herself without feeling guilty about it.
I think you're bringing up an excellent point about how women really do need to learn how to take care of themselves in order to be able to take care of their families, to really look after themselves and not feel selfish or bad about it.
Right, exactly. That's a good thing.
Yeah, Charlotte, talk to me about that. I mean, you said you had a little bit of trouble and, talk to me a little bit about that journey of finally getting to the place where you kind of said, yeah, I really do have to, take a moment and not take my whole full body moment for me.
I would say I came to the epiphany after I had the last baby.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt overwhelmed because I was home. It was, it was me and three out of the five kids home 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. Mm-hmm. And I just really felt overwhelmed, and I really felt like I just needed to get out by myself to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, I Sam came home one night. I'm like, I need to get out of here. I just need to go outside. Even if it's just for me to walk around the block, mm-hmm. I need to go outside because I've been in here all day and I'm starting to feel trapped, and I need to go. And once I did get outside and I went, even if it's just to run an errand, to run the Target, to, you know, do whatever, I just needed to come down and to be away.
And what would you say, I mean, if to other mothers who are listening, whether it's a blended family or not, who are kind of overwhelmed either with just life, children, work, school, everything that goes within a family, what is a piece of advice that you would give to a woman that might feel that way? I mean, coming from your perspective, of course.
I would say, you know, even though you would feel bad feeling like you're abandoning your child by taking time away from them, I feel you'll do them much more harm if you started to feel as though they were in the way of you doing what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Because that's a feeling that you're going to get if you don't take time for yourself. It's that, you know, you're going to feel like they're in the way, but they're the reason that you can't do certain things. And if you take just, I would say, a half an hour to yourself, it makes the world a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be Superwoman all the time. You have to take time for yourself.
30 minutes a day keeps the crazy away?
Yeah.
Is that what we said? Okay. All right. Okay. So we did talk more because I think we had like a brief conversation also about a marriage, bonds, boundaries, and beliefs, because that was the title of some of the beginning shows. And we were discussing some of the beliefs that you guys came into this relationship with and how they have changed, if they have changed. Are there any beliefs that did change, or what did you come in with that you realized you had to make a change about, or that you learned a little bit more about your spouse?
I guess I would say, for me, it's been, well, I've always felt that I was an understanding person, but I feel that knowing Charlotte's story, meaning her past, with other relationships that she had or family members, I was able to become more understanding and use that as what I would call a power tool when we're having a disagreement. Instead of throwing my hands up and walking away, I'll use that to see the bigger picture where, you know, she's reacting this way because of A, B, and C. Let me look at it for what it is. It's nothing personal against me. This is just how she's used to reacting. So let me see peace past that, and let's dig at the bigger picture, which we're trying to get at here.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte?
Oh, one second. She just stepped away.
Oh, it's okay. No, I can understand. So we'll continue the conversation with you. Like, if you want to give me an example of something like that, like, because it happens in every relationship where you're bringing in your past and your past experiences. So when you hear someone say something or you see someone do something, you see it and hear it a certain way.
Say that last part again.
I said when you hear or see your spouse do something, you
right.
might take it a certain way because of your past experiences, like you said. So is there an experience that you want to talk to me about?
Okay, yeah, well, exactly. I can give you an example of that. For instance, you know, I had this issue with running away, walking away from situations. You know, I feel that you have to deal with it. You may not have to deal with it right then and there, but it has to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about it. If we have to argue it out, we have to argue it out. Mm-hmm. So because my ex-wife, the way she did things, she just got up and left. So that's like a big thing with me. With somebody, when Charlotte gets upset at me, oh, I need to go here for a second. No. where are you going? We talking about money. You can't rhyme. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't believe in that. So that's something that I'm dealing with on a personal level, where there will be a point that, yeah, I know there will be a point in the future I will have to let her leave, you know, whether it's go to her parents' house and sit and think about it for a second, even though that, honestly, that scares me because I know where it led to before. People get up and leave. They don't want to deal with things, and they don't come back. Mm-hmm. You know, they just burn the bridges. So I have, that's a fear of mine. Even though I'm not saying that she would do that, but because of my past, this is how I feel about that, those type of situations. So when she do say I'm leaving, or I need to go here, it's like that's a red flag for me.
Right. And but what are the reasons that she's stepping away? I know some people tend to step away from an argument just to either get a little perspective or just to process a little bit. Or to, you know, bring the situation down from what it is. But, you know, whatever it is, you still had that experience that they're just walking away for good.
Yes.
And how did you deal with that? How do you, how did you come to terms with this? This new relationship?
I mean, when it's not an emotional situation going on, I know deep down, I know she's not leaving to go anywhere. It's just that when I hear that, I just automatically think about what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, truthfully, honestly, she did just get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
Right, your ex just got up and left.
Say that again?
Your ex, I want to make sure that the callers are clear about who just got up and left.
Yeah, my ex got up and left.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That left a bad taste in my mouth. So again, when we have our little, which is very rare,
mm-hmm.
but even though it's rare, even when it comes up, I'm just like, nah, no. We need to sit here and talk about this. You can't go. You can't go because she can go anywhere she wants. I'd appreciate it if you don't go to this place because I can't force her to stay. I mean, I'm not silly. I'm not stupid. She can get up and do what she wants.
Right.
But I would appreciate it if you stay and let's talk this out. You know, if you want me to leave you alone now, I will leave you alone now. But do know that this is when you say something like that, this is what I'm thinking about. And then, you know, then she goes into her lecture. I'm not going anywhere.
Where am I going with four kids?
Hey, listen, that women been doing it for a long time.
And Charlotte, was there an experience that you had where you came in with a certain belief that, or an experience that you had to either grow through or kind of get over?
I want to say it's single mother syndrome.
Mm.
I came in feeling, because I took care of my son by myself, his father wasn't helping, that I had to do everything.
Mm.
And even with Sam here, there are times when I find myself going through that single mother syndrome where I have to do everything. I have to run around. I have to, you know, if it's a doctor's appointment, I have to do it. I have to do for these kids by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I had to take the step back, like you're not by yourself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't have to do these things by yourself anymore. These are not things that, you know, what's the point of you being with someone if you're not going to include them?
Right.
So that's something I had to take a step back and, you know, relinquish some of the, you know, the control that I wanted to have.
Control.
I had to give it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The control issues. I'm very well acquainted with those. I'm going to stop for a second just to remind our listeners that most times the show does go past an hour. So if you do not want to miss anything that is said or anything that goes on, I'm going to suggest that you call in. If you're listening on your computer through the internet, that's fine. But at the end of the show, you will get cut off and you will have to listen to the show again via the archive. But if you want to remain on and hear the entire show, because I guarantee you chances are we're going to go over the hour, just call in. And the number is 347-996-3160. And you'll be able to catch the entire show without any interruption. We're going to go back in to the conversation with the Halls again, and we just finished talking about learning to share responsibilities, which is a very important point. Do you guys have anything more to share about learning to share responsibilities, learning to relinquish the control so that you are cleaving and becoming one couple?
Yes.
I think that's about it for me.
Okay.
I had to basically tell myself, like I said, you know, you're not in this by yourself, and you don't have to, you know, do everything on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat the question.
Oh, I was saying, was there some more that you could talk to the listeners about learning to relinquish control or share responsibilities? Or actually, you know what? I do remember you talking about communication and what made you two so comfortable with one another. And part of that was not feeling judged by your past with Sam.
Definitely. From the start, like I said, he came out and was very open and honest with me from the first date, and it's something that I've always, you know, I respected it, and I was very honest and open with him as well. But for the first time, I felt like, and I'm telling him about my past and, you know, things that I've gone through, I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel like he was looking at me as a different type of person because, you know, I went through these things. It was just like, you know, he listened and he understood. And if he didn't understand, he, you know, tried to wrap his mind around it without pointing a finger at me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that was something that you had gone through before in previous relationships.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the other person's past, I mean, we're all going to, well, not everybody, but for the most part, we're going to hear about situations that the person that we're with has gone through or has done that we don't necessarily understand or agree with. But if you want to be with that person, that is a part of them. You know, it's not as if they're doing it right here, in the moment, right now, while they're with you. I mean, we all have a past. I mean, so, for, you know, if I was to walk away from Shorty because of something she did in the past, that's foolish. You know, everybody's human. Everybody has their experiences, and that's the end of it. There's no need of short-stopping a relationship just because of something that someone has gone through, even if you don't approve of it. You may, because I know talking to a lot of guys, the main thing that they have an issue with is some of the sexual experiences that the women that they are with have had.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the same breath, they want the woman to be accepting of the sexual experiences that they've had, you know, plus the whole double standard. You know, I just don't believe that's the reason in ending a relationship or cutting somebody off just because you don't necessarily agree with an experience that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. And what about the, I mean, when you're saying that, it brings up the topic of honesty. What made you guys so comfortable with one another was that you were honest, like you put everything right out there on the table to be accepted or not accepted.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the same way she said, I told her I was married right off the bat. I mean, to me, that wasn't a big deal. I was just saying it because that's the way it was. I didn't want her to find out. Well, she wouldn't have found out from anybody else because she didn't know anybody that I knew. But I just wanted to put it out there so she can make her own decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not with her anymore, but we are still married. So, you know, you have the option. So let's see where this go, or you can stop it right now. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it was nice to just at least have that option because I know there are plenty of guys who were probably still living with their wives who would not have said anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I appreciated that he let me have that choice for myself instead of making the decision for me. Like, I'm not going to tell you, you know, let's just date and that's it.
You know, I really hope that singles who are dating are listening to this. because you're making the point that it, if you really truly respect and care about someone, or just respect someone and yourself, you're going to tell them about your mess up front.
Yeah.
And let them decide.
But I will say, it may not come out as early as it did for us. A lot of things just happen fast for us. I can't even explain to you why it did. That's just the way it happened. You know, and I will say, for most relationships, it may not, it doesn't come out that fast. It comes, I always say you got to give the person, well, any type of relationship, the 3-month rule, the 3-month period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give the person 3 months and their true colors come out. You know, within the first 3 months, you're seeing the mask.
Right.
After that, everything else comes out because the person is extremely comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason with us, on the first date, stuff was coming out that I wouldn't have probably even thought twice about telling somebody. And I'm sure the same for her. She told me some stuff that I can even still picture it in my mind. She's telling me stuff, and she's looking at me to see how I want to respond. She doesn't even know how I'm going to take it. And I guess by being that my response wasn't negative, not only wasn't it not negative, but I never brought it up and threw it in her face later down the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helped her as well. You know, she said it was done, it was over. That's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Still, honesty, it really is a big factor in how you guys came together and how you guys are still able to make it work.
Big time.
Big time. Honesty, you know, if you're not honest with the person that you're with, there's no way that you're going to trust them.
Right, right.
Like, if I'm lying to Sam, I'm not going to trust him because I know what I've said and what I've done. So I'm gonna think that he's going to say and do the same thing or act in the same way that I'm acting. So then there's no trust.
Right.
And vice versa. But it also, there also has to be a strong commitment.
Yeah.
You know, the commitment plays a big part. Like, you know, I could say, you know, I'll see you if you can hear me speak, me and Charlotte, we work well together, we love each other, how we met, blah, 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 but I want to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big part. You can click with somebody, but if you don't want to be with them, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll fight tooth and nail for our relationship, our family, because I truly want to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, they have to, you know, do you want to be with her? Oh, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then it's not going to work.
Nobody's going to tell you. It's something that you have to know for yourself.
Right. Right. I love it. I love it. All important points, the honesty, the trust, the history, being able to discuss the history. And what did you know about, I think we also went over the level of commitment that you have. I know Sam was saying, listen, I just don't believe in giving up on love. When you find something that works for you, you just don't give up on it. So let's talk a little bit about, like, the level of commitment. Well, clearly you guys are committed. but the level of commitment that you guys have, because I know, Sam, did you say you had a second job and then you just finished school?
He is the only person that I know of who has two jobs and gets all A's in all his classes. I don't know how he did it. I was sitting right here, and I still don't know how he did it. But
we need to give him a billboard. We need to get him a billboard quick, because there should be no excuses from anyone. There should be no excuses. All right, guys, I know we normally go over, but we might not go over tonight because you guys are pretty busy.
No, actually, we're not. We're fine. They sleep now.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, great. Now I was about to stop the show and they sleep. That's just like children to do that. But sometimes I do ask couples to give 5 pieces of advice to newlywed couples. What 5 pieces of advice for a healthy, lasting relationship, or just a healthy relationship, would you guys give? And they could be 5 separate ones from each of you, or they could be 5 together. It's up to you. But give me some important points for a healthy relationship.
You go.
Of course, communication.
Hmm.
Communication. You have to be understanding, even if you don't agree with the other person's point of view, situation, what have you, you have to at least understand, try to understand where it is that they're coming from.
And by that, you say where they're coming from, because trust me, there are people who hear that all the time. Remember how we used to hear, you got to understand where I'm coming from as a kid, and you still didn't understand where they were coming from?
It's hard. It's nothing easy. I mean, it's hard.
Right,
you have to put yourself in their shoes. You have to,
right.
Okay, if someone did this to me, how would I feel?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of understanding, you know, if I say this or if I do this, how is it going to make this person feel?
Mm-hmm. And what
you know,
their way of thinking, I think.
When Charlotte and I react to things differently, I'm very calm, nonchalant, like whatever, who cares, even go, I really don't give two craps. she tends to personalize it, even if it's not about her. So when I say things to her, which I know shouldn't be personalized, I may just shrug it off initially, but then I'll come back to her and have to retract what it is that I said, because I have to understand how it is that she reacts to things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's never going to react like me. I'm never going to react like her. So I have to understand her being a sensitive person, why it is that she will react in such a sensitive manner, or why it is that she's taking this personal when it has nothing to do with her. Or maybe even just explain it to, like, when it's a situation with the kids that can be taken very personal. You know, Charlotte, that wasn't about you. They're going to do that regardless. They're going to do it to me. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's just about them misbehaving because they want their way. So that's what I mean by understanding where the person is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
At least why. So we
said
communication, understanding, forgiveness. You have to be able to forgive.
Woo! We might have to stop right there. In fact, that's going to be a whole other show and a whole hour of a show. Because that is never a five-minute conversation. But why don't you give us your take on forgiveness right now?
Wow.
Yeah, wow, exactly. I mean,
I would say, you know, because they have these sayings like, you know, holding a grudge against someone is like holding onto a hot coal with the anticipation of throwing it. Like throwing it on someone else or drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's like you're only holding yourself. So
how does that work within marriage? Because, you know, I mean, we all know how we react to certain things as single people. And then when you come together in a marriage and have to deal with a situation, you know, it's not easy just to forgive so quickly.
It's not, but I do feel like I want to believe that Sam is not going to do something to intentionally hurt me. So when we get into an argument or if we are discussing something, I get upset. I have to know in the back of my head, you know, Sam is not going to say or do something to intentionally hurt me. So, you know, that's how I'm able to forgive, you know, to let things go. Because I know that it's not an intentional act to make me feel bad or to, you know, say something to hurt me. It may just be a miscommunication or a misunderstanding or, you know, once we calm down and we talk it out, you know, everything kind of, you know, we get everything explained and then, that's why he said that. Instead of, you know, holding on to being angry, holding on to being upset over something without finding out why it was said.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that happened probably about 2 months ago with us. I call it the overload because she was the doctor's appointment. I couldn't be at the doctor's appointment because I had just taken off a bunch of days, so I wasn't able to go. So she was getting overloaded because I think she had all three of the kids at the doctor with
us. It was an appointment for me, the baby, and my 2-year-old at the same time.
Woo!
So she came home. She was upset. And then she directed the anger towards me.
Mm-hmm.
So then she said some things to me that I thought were very unfair and hurtful. So then in return, I said some things to her, which I knew would upset her. So then she asked me, well, you know, I'm even more upset with you because you said that you would never say anything to hurt me. And I said, well, yeah, well, we're not arguing. We're just, I'm not going to say anything to hurt you. I said, well, you said something to hurt me. So, I mean, that's an example of that. Eventually, she got past it. She knew, I'm not going to say anything to intentionally hurt her.
Right.
But by all means, the natural defense mechanism when somebody says something to hurt you is to say something back. I mean, it's only but so many times you're going to take a smack in the face and keep moving. Like, you know how sick it is.
Wow. Funny.
But, well, I mean, you know, that's how we got past it. You know, it all comes back to communication for us, because even after all this arguing or debating or whatever you want to call it, we sit down and talk about it. I'll say, you know, I said this because A, B, and C. I didn't mean it like that, but you know what? Because a lot of problems within relationships are when we say something to the other person, we think the other person automatically understands what it is we're trying to convey, and they don't understand all the time. You have to really say it in detail.
Right. To make sure. So, I mean, if your couples are listening out there, make sure that the person understands what you are saying and that it was not intentionally hurtful, if it wasn't, because if it was, you know, I've got nothing to say about that. But, yeah, when it comes to communication, when it's, you know, breaking it down, part of it is making sure that the person understands what it is that you mean when you say what you mean.
Definitely.
Okay. All right.
Now,
so the next one.
Good sex.
Talk about it.
I don't care what anybody says.
No, keep it real.
Relationship is not going to happen without good sex. It just will not. Somebody's going to do something somewhere along the line. I don't care if they're doing it by themselves. The other person's going to get upset. It's going to happen. And I always say that most guys cheat because they're greedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask a guy, oh, you're going to leave your girl? No, I'm not leaving her. Okay, so it's greed.
Mm-hmm.
Most women cheat. Most older women cheat because of unhappiness. You know, something's not being fulfilled. The younger ones, this is a different crowd here. They're just as bad as the guys. I hear the stories on the train. So I feel, you know, especially with the guys, we have to understand our partner. You have to listen to their bodies. You have to understand them. You know, that's a big mistake the guys make. You know, get mine, she's going to get hers, she does, she don't, oh well.
Mm-hmm.
That old well will turn into a broken relationship.
All right, so let's tie that up nice and neat. Let's say when it comes to sex, sex within a marriage is important because
keeps everybody completely relaxed.
All right, okay.
Well, you want to say
no.
Why is she speaking? She don't want to speak on this part.
Charlotte, why all of a sudden are you getting shy?
You know, all these people walking around with 50 Shades of Grey, and they don't want to talk.
Oh, that's Charlotte, really, you're not going to
say that. I heard actually recently where they said if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not happy, you know, I'm gonna argue with Sam. I'm gonna take it out on the kids. It's gonna be everybody in the house is gonna be upset. So I need to be happy.
No, I understand. I hear a lot of couples say that it just really promotes intimacy between the couple and, you know, better communication, because communication is not just verbal. It is physical, it is emotional, so healthy sex life equals healthy marriage, of course with other things involved, but healthy sex life, healthy marriage together is just, from what I understand, very awesome. Okay, so next up, because I can tell Charlotte's still blushing, I can just feel her blushing over the air. The next piece of advice, go on.
You have to be willing to fight.
All right.
To be willing to fight for your relationship, committed to commitment.
I was about to say, because you said just be willing to fight, and I'm just like, come on now, you know.
Fight to keep it together.
And that's not to say, you know, if the couple fall apart, you shouldn't work at getting back together, because, you know, this is the end. I shouldn't have never, if I was going to if I was committed to fighting, I wouldn't have never let it fall to pieces to begin with. But you know what? Things happen. You know, you can always get back in the ring and fight it out, but show your commitment all over again that you're willing to fight for the long, for the bigger picture. To me, that has to be a, that's a big part of it. You have to be committed. You have to want to be with the person. That should probably be at the top.
Listen, all to me, all of them are at the top. You talked about communication. You talked about sexual intimacy, and then of course, just being able to fight for your relationship. We're definitely going to have a show about that at some point where we could really break that down, because you could hear that and not understand what that means.
Right.
Again, I can say even personally that you could grow up around lasting and happy marriages. My parents were together for 31 years before the passing of my dad. But the things that we need to learn that really need to be broken down, sometimes they just aren't. And as an adult and as adults, we need to have these discussions and really open up and say what it is, and not just say fight for your marriage. What does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean to you? Because, you know, everyone thinks of it differently. It might not mean the same thing, but it might mean the same thing to someone else that is listening. So we'll save that for another show. But definitely, or maybe I'll get you guys to write it down and then I'll post it. What does it mean to fight for your marriage?
Okay.
And is there one more left? We have one left, right? Charlotte, do you have something to say about fighting for your marriage?
No, I actually didn't.
I would also say that men and women in relationships, or whoever it is, men and women, or men and women, it don't matter, have to learn when to shut up. You know,
yeah.
We have to know when to be quiet, just drop it and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there comes a point that, you know, there's a lot of times where the person is wrong and they just won't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to know when to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Just
be quiet and listen. Or just
you can make a situation worse by not being quiet. Like, you know, you're talking, but you're not listening to what the person is saying, and you're pushing them further away.
Mm-hmm. So more talking and less listening can push someone away.
Yeah.
Love it. I definitely love that one. Okay, so we're actually going to end on that one. When it comes to marriage, try to do less talking, more listening, or you run the risk of pushing someone away, which, of course, will create more work for you if you're fighting for your marriage.
Exactly.
So we're going to end on that. We really want to thank the Halls for calling in today and sharing their experience with us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, listen, you know that I'm so happy. And we want to thank Ian Lynn from Ian Lynn Photography for suggesting the Halls. Shout out to Ian.
Yeah, he got a big smile across his face somewhere.
I know he does. We're going to have to get Ian on the show one day. He's definitely going to have to call in or something, but we'll wait for that to happen. I'm going to go ahead and put you guys on hold for a second. In fact, you know, I'll talk to you guys soon. I'm going to say goodnight to all the listeners. We did not get a second caller who pressed 1 to win the free subscription, but we will go ahead and put it on the Facebook page later on this week for someone to win the second free subscription. But I do want to say again, thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to our guests. We are a company that is about love, beauty, fun, weddings, and marriage, and we are dedicated to love. Thank you and good night.